Look out!
Chim Chimney.
Yeah. Indeed.
Well, we'll see how you do in the game, bitch.
Welcome to the Dead Zone Podcast. Dead Zone is the sci-fi tabletop miniature skirmish game from Mantic Games. And now, here are your hosts, Rob Harper and Jack Fike. And I am your announcer, William Randolph Wintergreen.
On this, the late March episode of Dead Zone the Podcast, we look at Nexus Psi, the Dreadball Extreme Kickstarter, and we also do a little bit of a battle report. If you want to look at any of the pictures we're talking about, go to deadzonegame.podbean.com and check them out there. Enjoy!
Welcome to the late March edition of Dead Zone the Podcast. Welcome, Jack.
Welcome, Rob.
So, today we're going to be talking about news, mostly. You've painted nothing. You've done nothing.
Nope, that is true. That is true.
And I was away in England.
That is true.
But I have painted things and done things.
Unspeakable, terrible things to young chimney sweeps all across.
Chimney, indeed. Yeah. Okay, so we're going to get into some news. And, yeah.
Yeah, lay it
we
on
don't
me.
Really have any shout-outs because we're still in the shout-out ban.
They're still a shout-out ban, as far as I can tell. But, let's get some news in.
Okay, we'll jump right into the news. First thing first, a lot of people online are requesting that the hard plastic versions of Mantic was going to do of the Forge Fathers and Asterians, and then decide not to because it would take too much time. A lot of people want the hard plastic ones, so Mantic's going back to the drawing board and seeing if they can make the hard plastic versions of them. Personally, we like the Restic. A lot of people, we're in the minority by liking Restic, but people want that hard plastic.
And to each their own. I like it because it's malleable under the hot water, and it's easy to clean up, and it looks nice. It's nice enough. It's good enough for who it's for in this instance. Some people, the hard plastic apparently gives you better detail, finer detail, and makes the models look much more refined. And so, if that's what they want, and if Mantic's going to listen, go ahead.
So we'll see what they do. Well, they said they'll have to see if it's a time thing. They don't want to delay it the second shipment, so they're going back to see if they can do it. But we'll see. Next off, Nexus Psi campaign is coming out, or is out now in the PDF form at very least. It's the new campaigns for Dead Zone, the first expansion really.
Looking forward to it.
Yep, and Mantic had Why It's Cool, and let's just go over these things. So number five for them was tells the death of a world. And so Nexus Psi is the planet where this Dead Zone is happening that they're talking about.
The planet where apparently all the games are held? Like that's the...
Yeah, like that's right now, that's where that's the current Dead Zone where everybody's supposedly happening.
Okay.
Like obviously you don't have to play it there, but that's what the campaign is.
Point of the campaign, and they've painted the picture of what's going to happen, and that's the background story.
Yeah, so it's going to be on this colony world that the plague outbreak happens. And it should be fun. Number four, it contains a full two-player campaign in this book.
Two-player cooperative or two-player one against the other?
One against the other.
Okay.
And so it's a series of scenarios. Two players will battle for supremacy, one the plague and one the enforcers, which is good for us because that's what we play. And lots of different narrative stories and objectives that they're going to go through.
Good. We need more objectives.
And it's a good way to get more of the narrative out of the game instead of just fighting each other. And your favorite thing, this book contains a whole short story.
Good. I look forward to reading this short story, possibly before bed to a small child.
Really? Is that how you really feel about it?
No, I am not going to do it. Stop prodding me with those judgmental eyes.
We're still waiting for the short story compilation of the Dead Zone. They're still working on it. So this is just a little preview of it. It's got a story called Hostile Acquisitions by Dave Bodie. Bodie? I guess that's how you pronounce it, right? Or Body?
Body.
And it's about corporate espionage and double dealing, twists and turns all the way to the ending, which should be fun. Fun read. I will enjoy it at least. So one of us will enjoy it at least.
You will, because you'll be the small child that I tuck into bed and read.
Nah. Now, the good thing about Nexus Psi, it's going to have a lot more of the fluff for the factions. So that's pretty cool. Because they wanted to put it into the original rule book and then decided that, hey, it needs to have rules in here. So we can't put all the fluff in there. So it's going to have a lot more of the ins and outs of the plague, enforcers, marauders, and rebs.
Why they are the way they are, what they're accomplishing, what they're trying to do, why they're in the position they're in. All the stuff that some people just need to know, well, to feel like it's a lived-in world. Okay.
It's nice to have the backgrounds, I think. It's a nice story to it all. It's interesting. It's I like right. what their take on everything, and it kind of explains why certain things are what. And they also have several mercenaries are going to have full-color spreads in there, too, which is kind of cool. And then lastly, there's going to be a painting tutorial in the book, which is kind of cool, how to paint the different factions. And it's by their resident painter, Dave. Who has his Dave's Hobby Tips on Facebook, or, on YouTube. Check that out. He's got a lot, right now he's a lot about how to assemble stuff and cleaning mold lines and stuff, but he's Dave the Painting God, as they like to say. So it's going to have, like, a painting tutorial, which is kind of cool. Like, it's neat to always see techniques for painting and things like that. It's that harkens back, I think, to GW stuff. GW loves to do their painting tutorials, so I think that's why.
It's the best way to sell a brand of paint.
Yeah, I guess. Well, Mantic doesn't sell paint, but they are associated with Army Painter, but
yeah,
for them, it's almost like lends legitimacy to their thing, where, hey, look, this is how you do it.
Because
they want, they want people who aren't newbies, or they want newbies, not just people who know how to paint already. This is kind of... Like, Flames of War does that, too. It has all the painting tutorials, like, where to paint, what painting. Flames of War, it's different. It's more for historical accuracy, I think. That's the World War II tank game. Not just tank, but World War II 50mm game. But they have painting tutorials, too. So I think that's just something that big game companies do, you know?
Okay, all the power to them. If that's something you're into, go right ahead. Knock yourself out.
And one of the scenarios that they're going to be playing in the next SI is the Save the MVP. On Nexus side, there's a big arena for Dreadball, so and it gets overrun by the plague. So you have to go in there and save this Dreadball MVP from the plague. But it's also gives you stat cards for Dreadball players in
Dead Zone.
Dead Zone. So that's kind of cool.
I love when I hope that's the direction they're going, where you can play one goes to the other goes to the. It's interchangeable.
If
you
right now
those models in one that you have to go to the other,
yeah,
that would be dynamite.
Right now, the Dreadball Extreme Kickstarter is happening, and it'll be over by the time it'll be just ending when this comes out.
In case you're wondering, his purse strings have already opened up, and this young man has already plunked down a considerable sum of money for the Dreadball Extreme.
Yeah, we don't have Dreadball yet, so might as well jump in, and that looks fun.
Just in case anyone was wondering out there, if there was something that he hasn't purchased, you can still, he's got a clean slate everything has been purchased that was possibly purchased.
Anyway, hopefully they'll have some stats for the Dead Zone in that... We'll talk about it later about the Extreme, but hopefully you get some stats for in there too for Dead Zone, like they did for the Mars Attacks. They had card kits for the Martians and the human military for Dead Zone. It's kind of cool that they're doing that, kind of making it so you can play different units. On to the next point, we're talking about the Peacekeepers. They produced a few more pictures of the Peacekeepers, which is cool. So they're the tough ass guys, big powered armor. Provided by the Forge Fathers. Let's take a look at these pictures. Here's some concepts for them. They all kind of look like the captain, but more of the troopers. I like how they have different poses. One guy's down on his knee, and
yeah, it looks like this. It's not the same sculpt over and over again. They've got some not so subtle differences. If you were to field a few of these things, it wouldn't look like a mass produced shoulder to shoulder. Line a regiment of one single reproduction,
and they have changed a bit. Originally they had more hand-to-hand weapons and claws and stuff, but now they're sticking with pretty much guns, which is cool, and of course their arm saber things.
So if that's the direction they're taking the units, that no sense in having someone with space swords or whatever it is that they had planned.
And they're talking about, hopefully if they get space, they're going to make a Peacekeeper Defender version. So he has a Peacekeeper with a Defender shield you can add instead of a weapon. You can throw a shield on him instead, which is kind of cool.
It's a cool riot shield looking thing. It's got...
Yeah, because there's already Defender shield enforcers coming, but these are going to be in bigger versions. and the bigger armor, so.
So it'll be tough plus.
Yeah, get the extra defense. But hopefully they can fit them on there. They don't know if they're going to fit those shields on or yet. In our monthly Strider news, there's always news about Striders.
They love them though. They're Striders. They're really, they're tickling their funny bones with those Striders. They just can't help it. There's always been pictures. They're always talking about them, what they're doing, how many you're getting.
Well, mechs are cool. I think everybody loves mechs.
Everyone loves mechs.
I think that's a truism, as it were.
That was the name of my sitcom for a while.
No, it was you and that mech living together, and half the room was separated by that line. And
yeah,
and he was really messy, and you were really clean,
fastidiously clean. Yeah, and I kept mistaking it was a mech. I thought it was Mexican, so I was always making these
rude jokes. These rude, yeah.
And he didn't understand.
No, he was just a mech. He didn't understand what you're talking about.
Our wacky neighbor didn't understand. He would.
He assumed you were gay. I think so.
Yeah, he would come over and he would tell the landlord we were gay, but the landlord would come up and then he'd go, "No, he thinks the mech. He thinks a robot's Mexican." It was a 16 seasons.
Funny show. Anyway, so Striders. Now they're going to include closed canopies too, because remember we kept seeing you could see the guys inside.
That was my favorite part of it, though.
Well, you don't have to. It's going to be an option. You can have them either enclosed or. You could have the canopy up, no canopy, or shut down.
Oh, that would be awesome if you could have it tilted up and then you
could see inside.
Or magnetize it.
Yeah, you could do it so you could take it on and off.
Yeah.
And now on to my favorite thing, the Enforcer, Pathfinder, Sniper, on Infiltrator bike. Another Sniper. Just what you always wanted, a Sniper that's mobile. So yeah, this is going to be that Pathfinder girl. It's going to have one of the mono bikes, which I'm not great fan of the single wheel, but she does have a sniper rifle that makes up for it.
Yeah, so it's not what you would consider, but it's not outrageously bad. I think it's a nice, innovative-looking thing.
It's different. Like, it's not just a motorcycle or a hover bike, you know?
She's got a massive, gyroscopic, tired wheel vehicle. It's better than nothing.
So here's a picture of her from kind of behind on the bike with her sniper rifle. There's a picture from her front. And there's her off the bike. We finally get to see shots of her off the bike, because it's going to include two models, one of her on the bike and one of her off the bike.
Because if she dismounts, you can't have her bow-leggedly standing on her. Well, you could. I could see if you tried to sculpt it in such a way she didn't look so ridiculous. But
yeah, you'd have to make the bike kind of fit weird,
thin,
probably.
Thin in the middle or something, but no, that looks nice. And if it looks like that, the concept we're seeing there.
She reminds me of Recon in a lot of ways, the similar like pants and smaller armor, but she's got the huge sniper rifle, which is cool.
Yeah, it's a lot less snipery than some of the other sniper rifles you see in the game, but it's still a nice looking model. She's got a just enough of the armor. You can tell she's an enforcer. Yeah.
She's got one shoulder pad, only one on.
And the chest armor, the big boots, stuff that, like...
But her pants are, like, more of this combat pants.
Yeah.
It looks cool. And we finally get a shot of a painted zombie from the game.
The one with the wrench in his hand.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. He looks pretty distorted there. They're much more plaguey than zombie-y, I think. You know, it's not the... It's not the undead look. It's more of a mutant look, I think, right?
He doesn't have the plague in this have very distinct, like,
protuberances. And, yeah.
Yes. And he doesn't have that. I think he's just shy of that. Like, if you were to add any of those on there, he would be a stage three and... Just,
yeah, he'd be too much. Yeah.
He would just be like, okay, he's a stage three.
This is just enough that he's not... He's just a mindless... It's a failed stage three, really. That's what a zombie is in this game.
He's a...
Mindless stage three that didn't quite mutate correctly. And
he's a failure.
So he's going to get shot by an enforcer.
Stage 3 parents look down at him. You're still living in the basement. Why can't you be out with the other stage 3s, failing to kill anything, being piss poor troops?
I think you got underlying. Underlying issues.
Okay, well, be that as it may. He does look like a nice...
Yeah, he looks cool.
He's a zombie, not a Plague 3, and I think you really needed to make that distinction somehow.
And I like it. I like his wrench and his big glove he's got on there.
Yeah, he looks like a...
Like a worker who...
Yes. Yeah, the other ones don't have that much in the way. That's why I made mine look like they were workers in a medical clinic or something. Just the white coveralls and stuff. You can't do that with him. Obviously, he's got a huge glove and these...
He looks like he worked in a refinery or something.
Yeah.
And on to the Dreadball Extreme Kickstarter. We talked about it a little bit. And some of the highlights are that concern Dead Zone, particularly. There's going to be a Kosovian mutant plague team.
So the plague are coming to Dead Zone, or Dreadball, sorry. So you get to play, obviously they're not going to have them in the big stadiums, but behind the doors, there might be some plague guys saying, hey, want to come play some ball?
Yeah, which I had
played some b-ball outside of school.
I had expressed a little bit of concern about the plague reaching the full, in the board game version of this world, it seemed like that was the big hook for playing Dead Zone, and I was afraid that if it made to the tabletop game or like the plague spread too much, that it would take away the allure, like the hook. But to do it in such a way that you have a team of things that aren't in Dead Zone, it's a race that aren't in Dead Zone, but well, it happened to be plagued.
Well, it's not just them, it's a bunch of different ones. But yeah, it's a bunch of aliens and humans that they've... The neat thing about it is it's a multi-part team that comes pre-assembled, but you can mix and match them to make them whatever you like. So the one that they're highlighting looks like a nameless, plagued out nameless with a big tentacle arm, but you could put that tentacle arm on another guy and have him have...
And that's when you explain that they're going to be like very modular, very unique.
Plus things. You can also use them to mod out your plagues for Dead Zone.
Or, yeah.
Like you can throw some, make some new stage twos or stage threes with weird tentacles or...
Can the Plaguehounds play Dreads?
I don't think they can't pick up things. Well, they should be able to pick up balls, so that would make sense.
Yeah! Put a big ball in its mouth.
Yeah. Magnetize the ball so it sticks there.
Yeah. Well, Mantic, if you ever do decide that... No.
Yeah. And there's the pictures of them.
And they look really good. They're not plagued out in the same way as a human plagues out.
They still got the way they painted them, it's the white shell thing.
But they have big claws, like big crab claws and stuff. They do not look like the plagued version of humans or the plagued version of anything else.
But you can see the concepts of the other stuff. There's like guys with tentacles and...
Yeah, it's...
All different mix and match ways, big arms, and looks like almost like a teraton head.
The plague does not affect them the same way it affects people in the Dead Zone world.
That's cool. I'd say these are stage twos, wouldn't you? They're not even stage threes. They look a little more... I don't know, it's hard to tell. They're also going to have another group called the Mechanites. It's a robot team that is, once again, it's going to be mix and match. So you can mix and match some robots. If they make Dead Zone stat cards for these guys, that'd be pretty cool to have these robots running around, even to play AI against, or like...
Oh, yeah.
No. Robotic sentries and
that... Oh,
beep. I swore.
Oh, and
beep.
Oh, now I swore. yeah, because depending on what they look like, robots, killer robots that are interchangeable, you can just build a bunch, just get a bunch of sprues and just put them together and just really go to town. That's starting to get into my wheelhouse.
Yeah, it's fun. As I said, it's like back in the day where there was that Star Wars droid factory that you could make your own droids for Star Wars. Like, when I say back in the day, I mean like the 80s. And yeah, that's what it reminds me of, just being able to mix and match your droids up. And
that sounds amazing.
So there you go.
And we don't have any concepts of those, but how hard can it be to make a good-looking robot chassis and some limbs and stuff?
I'm sure it'll look similar to the robot teams that are already in Dead Zone, like single wheels with different things. And so it should be fun.
Yeah.
So we pledged for that, so we're going to get at least some of those, so it'll be kind of fun.
We pledged for that?
Well, I pledged for that because I was drunk.
That's good.
So, we'll take a break here, and then we'll come back and discuss some other stuff.
You're going to love this commercial. I think it's the best we've ever done.
It's probably just the Mantic one again.
Perfect!
You have been listening to the Dead Zone Podcast with your hosts, Jack Fike and Rob Harper. Dead Zone is the tabletop game from Mantic Games. Please visit them at manticgames.com.
Okay, welcome back to...
Welcome back to the Dead Zone Podcast. That was a commercial made with love.
Literally.
Equal parts love and cinnamon.
Ooh, cinnamon.
So what's up next on the news train we've got here? Bring the news train into the station, Rob.
Well, as I said before, I got some crazy boxes from the Mantic sale during Christmas time. Plus, I bought some of that Antinotus designs. So we're going to check out before I painted them, we'll check out some of these things and see how they look.
Yeah, and see how we modded. I modded up some of this stuff.
Like the last podcast that we did, you discussed that you had ordered them. They came promptly.
Yeah.
And now you have them. So let's...
terrible shipping. If you're shipping Antinotus to North America, worst shipping possible. It was in like a bag, ripped half open, probably missing things. It was pretty terrible. But the models themselves look awesome. So we'll go through everything. First one we're looking at here is the APC. And on top, I have one of the Dreadball people who I modified with some extra arms and guns I had from another set. And so I made her look like a general because I made her pointing.
Oh, she's pointing to what appears to be a metal. Is that the gun on the turret? Is that metal?
Yeah. Once again, these kits, they were kind of mix and match. So I kind of made my own turret with some extra guns and a big cannon on top.
So the stock APC is just the white chassis.
And it came with bits, but some of these bits were also from the Firefly, and I just kind of mixed and matched and made my own thing. So, yeah, so I like how she turned out. She looks pretty cool. And the APC is fun. It's heavy as hell. Like, it is heavy. It probably weighs a good pound, at least, for a miniature. And you can sell the scale by how big she is. She's smallish. She's not very tall, but it's pretty big vehicle.
It's a big vehicle. She's probably the size of the tire.
Yeah, it's pretty close, yeah.
So, well, that's good. That's good. Next is the Terrapton.
Oh, do you have anything to say about the APC?
No.
Okay, yeah. So next is the Terrapton. It was a Terrapton Brawler from the Dreadball, which I modified to I gave him some extra weapons and a big sword to represent his ceremonial blade, and I pretty much made a new Dreb Terrapton.
Which is good, because that opens up the field. We already have a Terrapton for the... for the Rebs now, we can throw a second one on there if you want to mix and match.
A second one and a third one.
Oh, and a third one. Look at the claws on that one.
So on this one, I had from the Marauder Command Pack, they had like a power claw. So I chopped off this Terrapton's hand and gave him a metal claw. And then I gave him a big rocket, because they have flamethrowers and grenade launchers. So I gave him a big rocket launcher on his shoulder and a flamethrower on his arm. The other one I gave a big sword and a flamethrower and a rocket launcher on his other hand.
That looks like the grenade launcher.
Yep, and underneath it's the flamethrower.
Oh, okay. Because that looks like the grenade launcher Stage 3 has on from the Plague.
Yep, and so this one, it's a different type of stuff there. And yeah, I like to... That hand fit perfectly. That looks pretty cool. That
looks wild.
And yeah, we'll show them again once I paint them up. But
you were making bold statements about the massive amount of painting you did while you were in England, while you were on vacation.
Yeah.
So let's see what that looks like.
Yeah, they're not done yet. I pretty much, so far, I've painted the wheels on the APC black. And yeah.
Okay. Well, and in fairness, since I painted nothing, you still have...
Yeah, I'm a little bit up.
You are.
So here's a better shot of the female... Dreadball players that I modified. I gave one a grenade launcher, and I gave the other one just a rifle, and she's pointing. I think they turned out pretty cool. Like, it fit pretty nicely, the way they put together. So I weaponized them.
You weaponized some Dreadball players, and now they can be enforcers, they can be rebs, they can be any old thing. They can.
I think I'm going to use them as Forge Fathers, because they're short.
Then, yeah, and they do kind of look Forge Father, and you throw the same paint scheme that you put on the Forge Fathers, it'll blend right in.
And next is the Firefly from Antinotus. And I put some, the weapons there was two separate things. It was a gun or a rocket launcher. I kind of combined them. And the tail thing was all messed up. I'm sure I was missing pieces, so I just kind of modified it to look good. And, yeah, it's a cool looking model. But
you'd think there'd be propellers inside those.
Yeah,
it looks like it should contain some sort
of... I'm sure it's pieces missing that I should have gotten that I never got.
Oh, well,
but I think of it as more anti-gravity of some sort.
Did you write a sternly worded letter?
I didn't bother. Oh, why complain? Like, it's too much trouble.
There's plenty of people who get a lot of things by complaining.
I know, and they annoy me because they're whiny bitches. I don't want to be a whiny bitch.
No, okay. You have made that statement before.
And here's some paint jobs we did. This is my my two goblins and the mobbies that I made.
That's a wild looking paint scheme. I like the goblins. First of all, I like the looks. I like the colors.
They match the rest of the Marauders I painted.
I had seen the starting of your Maw Beast one time, and now as a finished version, he's got a red mane.
It's once again though, the camera makes it probably redder than it is, but
I haven't seen him in real life. But that's I would say probably. I don't know, similar to the one that I did.
Yeah, let's see if we could find the one you did here. Sure, you did. We take a picture of that one?
Maybe. If not, we'll
put a picture of the one Jack did in here.
We'll take some pictures, because after this, we're probably going to break out the game and knock off one or two rounds. So, and I've got my modified. I did some modifications myself on some hellhounds, on the plaguehounds, and on the. I think we discussed in the last episode that I was going to do that. So,
and yeah. Here's some more of the mercs I painted up. Just some Blaine and Nestanza. Once again, they're not the best pictures, but hey. And here's some of the more of that terrain that I bought. It's all the, originally it was for Infinity, but now they're marketing it as Dead Zone terrain also from Antinotis. And it's the laser cut. You just assemble it. Laser and I put some models on there for scale.
Laser cut MDF.
Yeah, that you MDF.
Pierce
yeah.
together, you piece together, slot A to
yeah,
to
very little paint, or very little glue needed.
And
yeah, lots of buildings. There's a three-story building that's actually all separate, so you can stack it anyway. These bridges are all separate,
and that's a sizable piece. Like I'm looking at the miniatures.
Yeah, it's three stories high.
The whole apparatus you got there there's quite a bit there.
And there's another bridge section. Yeah. Well, once we get all this painted up, we'll show it.
Do we have to paint that? Like that looks finished. Like
it looks like wood. I would paint it.
Oh, okay.
I think so.
It looks like one of those things that you wish you had an airbrush or something to paint.
Yeah, for sure. Well, spray paint, I'm sure, but you'll lose a lot of details. That's the thing, like you say, like some of that you could see like hexes on the roof and stuff. I assume that'll just disappear, so I don't know. Like, it's always painted. I don't know why they do that. It's not, you know, unless when you paint it, it still shows up. We'll see.
Yeah, you could probably highlight some areas and leave a lot of that detail, or, you know, so you'd prefer one or the other. Make it look finished when you put it together.
Yeah.
Finished, not, or leave it blank, but don't put some hexes on here.
Well, that's why I say if they show up when you paint it, that's fine. They should be dug in a bit. I don't think they're just kind of almost like they're printed on the outside for some reason. I don't know why they do that, but so we'll see when we paint some up and see how it looks.
Yeah.
And also in that crazy box, I got the Marauder trikes. So I got two Marauder trikes going too. One of which I modified and put some guns on instead of the rocket launcher that's supposed to come with it. So they're just for fun. Make some more vehicles. I do love my vehicles. And that's it. We also, yeah, like you said, you have some plague hounds that you modified up. We showed the proxies last time. And now this time it's you actually painted them up, made them look just like the other ones.
I did. I liked the models that you had picked up. They were like $1.50 each or something. There were some little hellhounds from another game, and they were black, gray.
Yeah, you couldn't really see that much detail, but then when you painted them, all of a sudden they became really beautiful details. And
so I painted them the same way I did, and I tried to emphasize the stuff that looked similar to the same flavor of the plague that Mantic made. And I actually took a plague hound that I had botched up originally, trying to cut the base off. We've mentioned this before, that I really just massacred it. But what I did was I removed the head of one of the hellhounds and put the Mantic plague hound head on it. Took a while, took a little sculpting, but it looks really nice. So there's a hybrid between what looks like greyhound or Doberman hellhounds
that came with the Dead Zone.
And these hellhounds turned into like mastiffs, like
bigger dogs for sure.
Yeah, like
mastiffs. I think a good word. They look like mastiffs.
Yeah, so something that you would expect to do, like a Rottweiler.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's one that's kind of a hybrid between the two. So we'll put the picture of that up there. I've got a picture of that. And also, I painted a Maw Beast.
Yep, we'll put up your Maw Beast. It's very similar colors. Once again, we didn't discuss it, but we have very similar color schemes.
We did, and I think. I saw your first, like, you had just started yours, and you said you were going to go with a red. And I thought, oh, yeah, well, by the way, I did red on mine, and it'll look good.
Yep.
I think the two of them side by side, I look forward to seeing that. We might even add another picture of the two of them side by side.
Yeah, we'll take a picture and put them both side by side. And, what else? Anything else we've done?
No.
You're thinking about working on the Plague Swarm.
Yeah, I'm going to. I'm going to re-tackle
that.
I tried to paint one. I was not happy. Of all the models that came with it, I was not happy with the sculpt. And it's just, to each their own. Art is subjective, and it's just something I didn't enjoy, and I tried it once.
You found it a little complicated and confused.
It was busy where it didn't need to be, and it was, it looks like the bottom part of the model looks just like someone slapped down modeling clay on the table and worked at the top and then was like, this is good, this is where I want it, but left this little big loaf of just stuff at the bottom that vaguely has little bits that might be an eyeball, might be this, but it's not really, and it's really.
You want to slice it right off?
What I'm gonna do is I'm gonna get a hacksaw, and we're gonna start working on that. We're gonna clean it up so that there's gonna be the pieces that really look nice on the model are showcased rather than it's a pile of goo with a centipede head coming out that looks good.
Yeah.
It's going to be a centipede.
And maybe make your own, like, out of your, because you love your epoxy, maybe make a green goo it's on or something.
Something. And I might not even, like, at some point, I might just go, no, I'm going to paint them up because I want to use them. But I've been procrastinating on them because I really want to take some time in the afternoon and just get in there. And
the only other thing you have to paint is Dr. Simmons, I think, and that's it, right?
Dr. Simmons and two of the grenade launchers, the Type 3s of the grenade launchers. I haven't painted them up yet.
So, yeah, it's not much left. Luckily, there'll be more stuff coming. But right now, for Dead Zone, I think we've almost painted everything.
For Dead Zone, we've got that done. You're still waiting on your second shipment.
And that won't be until Enforcers. June. So.
But I think right now, the last podcast we did was a
before the clip show.
No, this last one, we had the clip
show. Oh, that's right, clip show, and then this last one.
Yeah, then
right.
The last one we did, which was just a battle report, it's just shooting the breeze about the games we played. Yeah,
pretty much talking about stuff.
So we're going to be wrapping this show up.
Well, we'll take a break right here. We'll take another break, and then after we come back from the break, we'll have played another couple games, and then we'll discuss those games right now. While they're fresh in our minds. How's that sound, GJ?
That sounds fantastic.
So we'll take a break, and then we'll be right back.
As long as you don't call me a bitch again.
Well, we'll see how you do in the game, bitch.
Bitch.
Okay, we'll be right back with that game report.
We will now take a moment for an important message.
Vinland Old Time Radio.
Ah, it is to laugh.
Bastrow!
Oi there, dirigible.
It's a gavel. A haunted gavel.
Have you read The King in Yellow?
Africa's a continent?
It's with great protest.
Ooh, now that's a fine program.
VinlandOldTimeRadio.podbean.com.
Welcome back to the Dead Zone Podcast.
So, we're back literally from just playing a game. Just finished. And it was a rip-roar. This time it was Jack playing Rebs.
For the first time ever.
And me playing my Enforcers. And we had a rip-roaring game. The Rebs ended up winning. They scoured their way out of there.
Yeah. Well, we didn't see it to fruition. That's at some point, just for the sake of time. And
it was over.
Yeah, Rob was...
There was enough cover that his guy could have got past me easy. By the end, I only had my sniper and a rocket launcher left, and they couldn't get any line of sight, so...
It was a very line of sight decision.
So, yeah, I came in with three enforcers, a sergeant, a sniper, and a rocket launcher. And what did you have?
I had the Yindage sergeant for my leader. I had two more Yindage rebels. I had two human rebels, and I had the Sorak with the blaster, and I had the Grogan with the Desolator.
And you had a Terraton.
And a Terraton.
The Terraton. But that Terraton kicked butt. So we went on, and we played it. It was fun. I pinned the crap out of your Terraton, but I couldn't kill him.
Well, let's start with the opening scene. We'll set the scene where in the first round, your sniper then executed a person.
Right? Oh, yeah, because my sniper's camo suit actually worked. He didn't see him in the...
It's painted the same as the scenery that was in front and beside him, so I didn't see him. I saw a rocket launcher guy standing prominently, and I figured...
That's right. The Grogan died very first round because he was standing out, not knowing there was a sniper clear shot at him.
And then following that, you moved four guys into one square.
And then we had... First what happened is your Terraton came up, and I suppressed him. I shot all four guys suppressing and kept him pinned, but he could not do any damage to him because of his tough and his AP. So he couldn't get damaged, but I suppressed the crap out of him.
Yeah, I had some cards to enrage him once to keep him from...
Yeah, I kept holding him up. And, yeah, then the blaster guy, We don't know if we played this rule right, but my four guys were on the edge of the board. He blasted them. Two guys got blown off the board, so we counted them as dead.
Yeah, my Sorak had the blaster, which I didn't even read the card beforehand. We had never used it before, so...
It's a useless ability. I think that model generally would be pretty useless, but it just happened to be in the perfect position.
I tried to blaze away, thinking, okay, four guys in one square. I've got to be able to knock them down, and it's going to be in my favor.
So, yeah, you pinned them and shot two guys off the side of the board.
So I had two humans on a gantry that had shots at them, plus this Sorak. So I thought, between three guys blazing away, they might be able to do some damage. Like I thought, oh, this is... You won my Territon? Well, you've made a huge mistake.
Yeah.
The huge mistake was mine, because the results were, we came to the conclusion, and I don't know if it's been addressed in some FAQs somewhere or whatever, the blast moves the enemy models in random directions. It just pins them and moves them in different directions. There's no
damage. No damage. Unless they hit walls or fall off things.
Tripling, doubling, doesn't matter. It just moves them about. And with that in mind, if they were on towers and stuff, it could be fun.
Yeah, you blast people off buildings and stuff.
And just as a bit of chaos, having a couple Soraks just knocking people all over the board, again, fun.
It's like a suppression that can only pin, like a blaze away that can only pin. It can't suppress, but it knocks them around too. It's wacky, but it's not that effective. It's just this time we decided that if you get blown off the board, you're dead. So
that's where we didn't know exactly what the rules. If it's been addressed and we did it wrong, but we just rolled a d8 and whichever direction it said to go in, that the models went in, and two of them went off the edge of the board.
And we considered them dead.
We considered them dead. Now, was that correct? Maybe, maybe not. There's different ways to view it, but we just decided that. And that was a decisive blow right in turn.
And then...
Because it was your sergeant.
No, my sergeant got blown off the board, yeah.
Which I... Had it been just the two troopers...
Yeah, it wouldn't have been that bad.
It wouldn't have been that bad, but it was his sergeant. Statistically, we rolled for all of them.
Yeah.
It was just happened to be...
So yeah, I lost my command pretty much. My sniper was my commander after that. But then my one enforcer got blown on the ground, out in the open... He had
no cover. Nothing.
Six guys shot at him, and I just kept rolling good for my survival, and he survived six shots from two different rounds. He kept getting blasted away.
My two humans that round fired down onto him. They were one square away.
Two Yindage,
and then I used a command
to shoot another.
So my Yindage had another round.
And then his Territon the next round finally got stood up and flamethrowered me, and still did no damage. We'll put pictures of the scene up. And
lucky stripe there. He
but your Territon was lucky too. My missile launcher guy got two shots on him. It's not easy to hit with him, but I missed both times, so he survived. My mission was to purge, so it was to kill his guys and get points. His was to scour, which was to collect stuff.
Which, ironically enough, when we were putting down all the items, and I didn't know what scour was, we were rolling randomly for all the items, and they all ended up right in front of Rob's guys.
Yeah, every single item was in the gray area or on my side of the board. There was none on his side.
And by the second turn, he had picked up and then started using it.
I kept on picking up ammo, so I kept blazing away.
Frightening rate. And I'm like, I need those points.
But then we got lucky that one of the ones he picked up was Intel, so he had enough. In the end, he had three Yindage left, so they had agile, so they were quick, so they could get through past my guys before I could shoot them. And there's too much cover. My rocket launcher, my sniper couldn't see them. So,
and in the end, that's what anything else was fun and superfluous, and maybe could have went either way. The big thing was that I.
Once he cleared out my enforcers, it was pretty much it.
But once I had a distract card on his sniper, and then I was able to run three Yindage into cover that was into the middle of the board, giving me access to multiple boxes and...
Yeah, enough to grab him and run off the board.
And he would have killed one.
My sniper's the only person who killed anyone that whole game. No, it's my one guy is suppressed here, so I can kill him.
Yeah.
But, my rocket launcher guy could not hit to save his life, which is general with him.
Yeah.
That's his MO. But Dan, my sniper, he's good as always. Can't wait to get another sniper.
He was shooting it. I spent most of the game, my Yindage were pinned, waiting to hopefully rush in one rush all three of them at a rapid pace.
But then you cleared. Once you cleared the other side of the board, it was pretty much. What happened was finally my guys, I had two enforcers left. The Terraton got hand-to-hand and dealt with them one round. It was nothing left.
Yeah, one was already wounded, so...
Well, you wounded him, and then I ran. You wounded him, and then I ran. And then you used a free move to move back in and fight both of them. And then you killed one, got another free move, a free attack.
Free attack, so and then it you, was yeah. move, attack.
What it was move, attack. You moved and attacked me.
Yes.
Wounded me. I ran. You used a card to move me again.
Attack.
Attacked me, and then you won.
Move.
Yeah, and then...
To move over to the next guy.
So he did one of those great moves. So he killed two guys that round.
And as soon as you moved your guy, you were like, oh, I shouldn't have done that. Like, as soon as I... Because you did. You gave me that look like, oh, for fuck's sake. Well, I should have moved him in the other direction.
No, it didn't matter, because you were just taking two rounds to kill my guys instead of one.
Depending on which way you put... If you started running...
Yeah, I could have run forward, but then he was wounded. You would have shot him. Nah, that was foregone conclusion. Once a Terraton gets hand to hand, you're dead. Like, there's no question.
And once you put two guys side by side in
the the reason I did that is because I got an extra die when I had two guys in the square together.
Oh.
But it didn't help. But, yeah, so that was that. But, it was a good game. I was with my points. If I had killed his Terraton either when I was suppressing it or with one of the rocket launchers, I would have won the game. So yeah. It was a close game no matter what. Like,
yeah.
Either I would have won then or he eventually won with the scour because I just ran out of people really to stop him.
And it was the plus one extra for every intel or for every thing you pick up. Plus one was an intel, so
you got an extra bonus.
Determined that it was the bonus for the intel plus the bonus as the scour, which made what seemed nearly
impossible.
Your Terraton
had the intel, so he had a scour, the intel, plus he's worth 3 points. So that's five points right there, so that was pretty good. And then you had each yundage, other than that, had 2 points each, so that was enough. That would have been 11 points right there.
Yeah.
Plus your human had one too, but your human was stuck on a tower and we were deciding he was thinking about jumping him off and hoping he survived.
Yeah, it was going to be like an Indiana Jones maneuver.
He might have broken both his legs, but at least he got the intel off the tower.
Need a rubber raft to float down on.
Yeah, that's right.
But the thing was, your sniper could have killed one of those yundish of the three that were running pell-mell grabbing a thing. I needed to get that human off that tower. Now, I forgot you could jump.
Yeah.
So in my mind, I'm thinking, I have to have these three Yundish survive, pinned underneath a gantry, out of line of sight.
Yeah. They were literally underneath my sniper.
For two rounds, because the human had to grab the thing, hop over a wall, grab it, hop back.
Yeah.
Then he had to go down the gantry, I think it was like two turns worth, hop down.
And
then I was going to run all of them across, and whichever one your sniper killed... I still was going to have the ability to I still had the points there. Like you said, I probably had about 11 points.
Yeah.
If your rocket launcher would have hit, it would have been all over. And that's why I said, okay, this could go either way.
Well, yeah, of course. But it was at the end, I just didn't have enough guys to stop your guys from getting across.
If your rocket launcher had been anyone else, I think you could have blazed away, pinned, or did something. But
my rocket launcher... Well, if I had been able to, if it had been two guys left, had been either of them had been able to move and shoot, it would have been different too. But my guys couldn't do that. So, and I don't believe in the sniper using a pistol getting a sniper ability. That's stupid.
No.
So we I guess it's technically a house rule, but anybody who uses the sniper using a pistol is cheating. That is just stupid.
Yeah. That's finding a loophole.
Yeah. That is tournament play right there.
If you want to talk cheating, then just go, hey, listen, they didn't specifically say that your sniper rifle has the sniper ability. You have the sniper ability,
but
and you
can't
could use...
snipe with a pistol. Yeah. I'm sorry.
My guy's got a knife. I'm going to snipe with the knife. And I felt bad. I felt bad about the blast knocking two guys off.
Yeah.
It was funny.
We determined that.
It was
funny. If I had been like, no, you just can't go that direction. But...
Well,
the only other thing that makes sense is that there's a wall there, so they bounce off the wall, I guess, but...
Right, which...
You take damage, probably wouldn't kill them, but...
A wall being there does go with the narrative, because my guys couldn't run away that way and go around. It could be explained that the reason I don't grab that case and run that way away from...
Yeah.
There's something there.
Or there's a cliff there. We decide there's a cliff.
Well, yeah, and that's the other thing. He couldn't run that way because he would have just gone off a...
Yeah, we didn't know how to play that, so we just like, yeah, they're dead. They go off the side, they're dead.
Every game we come up with something like that.
Because if you'd thrown a frag grenade and it had gone off the side, does it bounce back in? Does it just disappear? We would probably play it just disappears, right? So... I would never thought to think it bounced back in. It might, but...
Yeah, and until we see something...
Yeah, until there's a decision, or...
And I don't know if I...
Or would... I guess you can just say, when you start the game, say, okay, this one's a wall, this one's a pit, this, you know, like, you could decide what each side is.
Pit with spikes.
And
the other one with boiling acid.
That's right, snakes.
Why does it always have to be snakes?
You already mentioned Indiana Jones. We had to do that. Anyways, it was a fun game anyways. I may have lost, but it was close. And
yeah.
And it was the first time Jack used anybody who could actually shoot.
Which they can't shoot or shit anyways. So.
No, that was just lucky that my one guy survived.
In one round, six people all opened up on a guy sprawled out.
It was just luck.
On the pavement.
I had four dice to roll. I had four dice to survive, and I kept rolling seven and eights on my four dice. So it was... And that one time, I think it was the final time he shot at me. I had only three dice, and he had six dice, and he rolled one success on six dice. I was just like, and I think I had only rolled two successes. So I was like, okay, this time's the time. You only have to get four successes. You killed me. And he rolled freaking one success.
Yeah.
It was like, well, that was just terrible.
Yeah. And
so we called my one guy. He's got a stripe on his face on the model. So we called him, he had a horseshoe up his butt. His new nickname is Lucky.
Yeah, because he was...
He was immortal until he was immortal until the Teraton shoved a sword up his butt.
The first time he
surgically extracted the horseshoe.
But he did, yeah. The first attack that wounded him...
That took the horseshoe out.
it carved up through the rectum,
yeah.
Got around through the colon, up into the small intestines, hooked onto the horseshoe, and pulled.
And then the next one's like... Then he ran next to the other enforcer. He's like, no, there's no more horseshoe.
Run, I'm not lucky anymore.
Don't come towards me.
Yeah.
Anyways, yeah, Teratons are tough, hard to kill.
Yeah.
With 2 AP and tough. That's tough.
Yeah, and that rocket launcher had his chance. And
yeah, if he had two chances. Hit... If he had rolled one success, he would have killed him.
But like you said, that would have been a third round victory for you.
Yeah,
like
I would have. So. Well, I think I had to kill one more guy, but it would have been easier. Because then the Teraton wouldn't have killed two more of my enforcers, so.
Yeah.
And then it would have been me hunting your guys, and I would definitely have an advantage.
Not knowing what your mission was, when you grouped four guys up together and just all stepped around the corner in unison at a Teraton, I thought, what the shit?
I wanted to, because he was worth 3 points, I was like, if I could kill that Teraton, that really changes. I already killed this Grogan, the second toughest guy there. Not knowing the blast weapon, I thought I was just going to be suppressed with us, you know. He was like, okay, I'll blaze away. What's blast do?
Yeah. I don't know. And we started reading the book.
Yeah, and then it's like, oh, it's like a blast grenade kind of, but with a weapon.
Yeah, and I rolled very well and expecting, okay, did I triple?
You tripled one guy, and then we're like, oh, what is that's going to do? Oh, it's the same as doubling. It's just, if it had been in the square beside him, it would have had the same effect.
Yeah, so it was, in this instance, maybe if a group of people in different locations.
It's powerful in its effect. Like, it's a way to, like, if I had... like six guys around one square and you shot that middle square, all those guys would have been pinned no matter what. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah.
But it does no damage, so it's a really effective like crowd control.
Yeah, it's like the rubber bullets of...
Yeah, that's what it is. Exactly, that's what it is. It's a rubber bullet. Because you would have, knocked me down, pinned me, and then your other guys can... If a plague had a weapon like that, that'd be dangerous. Because you knock all my guys down, and all of a sudden the plague just dumped in there. And
run in them. But once I learned what that was, I thought, okay, you have a rocket launcher guy
I was on a cube tower.
High tower.
Yeah.
And you have a sniper on a one...
It just was the scenery, it was just...
Gantry.
The scenery is just perfect that I couldn't get good lines of sight.
And I was thinking, you know what? I'm going to knock that rocket launcher. Eventually, he's going to hit. It's hard to hit with him.
Yeah, when he does, hit. Yeah.
He's going to kill whatever he's aiming at.
Oh, yeah.
And I thought, what I want to do is I want to blast him off that tower.
But I blazed away and killed your Sorak, right? Because I was like, that's the guy that got knocked down from it, too. He's like, you bastard.
And just blazed away on
killed him.
The enforcers do have a
They're tough to kill, but they're...
Their armor makes them tough, and their shooting makes them tough. They're a well-rounded...
They're not great at one thing. Like, the thing they're really weak at is hand-to-hand. Even my hand-to-hand specialists suck at hand-to-hand.
And that's...
That's why plagues and teratons can just rip holes in them.
And it was the mobility of my army that I made up just because... We both made a rebel army list so that we would both paint the rebels that happened to be on our army list.
Thinking that it would look like two different rebel units, even though when we finished painting them, they look like one.
Yeah, it does look like one.
We thought they'd be like two different crews, but in the end, they end up being one large crew.
So what it turned out was good for me was that I had three Yindish, and they're
fast. Yeah.
They've got the agility,
mm-hmm.
and my thing was to grab cases and take them off the other side. It just worked out.
Yeah, that's if you had that agility, you would never be able to cross that distance. And
I was pinned behind a building on my end,
But you were able to move three, so you were able to get underneath my gantries right away.
And I had to do it after at least one of the guys, the rocket launcher or the sniper, had moved, and I had to do it all three at once.
Yeah, you had to keep going, yeah.
And I figured...
Plus, there was one time that you moved your leader into a building, and you moved him about an eighth of an inch in the right direction, so my sniper couldn't see him. If he had moved him, like, literally...
Less, like, a millimeter back, and it would have
been... Yeah, I would have shot him and killed him, most likely. My sniper rarely doesn't kill what he shoots
at.
No, he's... Especially unarmored targets. Like, if I shot at the Teraton, there's a good chance that... it was more even, but me shooting at it on an unarmored target, it's going to die.
And the thing was, I played a distract card on the sniper, mm-hmm. and that's when I made my surge over.
So yeah, my sniper was still unactivated, so he could have had a chance to get into a better position to shoot people. What I was going to do was my sniper's move him back and to the edge of the board, so he had all the open area right in front of him, which would have changed a lot.
Where he came from, and he had a better...
I should never have moved. I should have just stayed in that spot the whole time.
Because
then I would have had better, you know?
Yeah, because
he never killed anybody after he moved to that spot, because you kept out of view. But at the time, I didn't know what your mission was, so I didn't know I could just protect that edge.
Yeah.
My mission was to move up and kill things.
So. And my fear was, and this brought up another point about rules and loopholes and rules lawyering, was he didn't put his sniper into overwatch, so I was able to distract. And we didn't know, without delving in, and I'm not 100% convinced, if you go into overwatch, that's an activation.
Yeah, I think it is. So you can't distract somebody who's been activated. So it's...
He's activated into overwatch.
It's not like the command ability pause, which takes people out of overwatch.
Right. So if he'd have been in overwatch, I couldn't have done it. So that's why I had to
He smooth talked me out of going into overwatch.
Well, no, that's not true.
That's the revisionist history.
The thing was, he had four guys.
And I only had three activations.
But he loves the sniper so much... And he only had three activations, and he used the rocket launcher for the obvious attack on the Teraton.
Because I had the shot at a Teraton, yeah.
No question there. I thought, okay, he'd be foolish not to do that. And then he was looking at the sniper, and he's like, I'm trying to do this, I'm trying to do that.
I was trying to see if I could shoot anybody, but there's nobody in view.
And he was kind of, and I said, you know what, you have multiple activations, and you have a whole other turn, and you have, don't do anything with the sniper.
He convinced me not to do anything so he could distract me.
But the thing was, If he would have been bitter if he did something with the sniper, and then instead of having to use a distract card, line up my guys, run, do all the stuff, if I'd have just went, oh, you used your guy? Okay. And just started walking by, you know, giving the hey, wanker symbol
to him.
And, you know, then you'd have been like this, oh, son of a bitch.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten. That's the way it works. Once you get activated, that's the way it works.
Yeah, I know, but I didn't... I
don't like Overwatch anyways, because you have to roll to see if you can do it.
No, I'm a fan of the Overwatch, you're not. So my fear of you doing it was very minimal, but I did use the distract card just in case.
And on the Mantic blog recently, they had an enforcer, like how to play enforcers, and they said to use Blaze Away, so I was like, oh, I'll try to use Blaze Away, see how it works. It is pretty effective against non-armored targets. Teraton, I could not do enough damage to put him out, but no. I killed that Sorak pretty easily with Blaze Away.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's good against certain targets.
The Teraton, I was using cards to get angry, get mean,
yeah.
And he was pinned and suppressed for, you know, a couple rounds,
yeah.
And had I not had that blast on your guys, the next round, it'd have been four people blazing away at that, it would have been...
But even though I'm not even sure I could blaze away and kill him with his tough and his, because you can't, you can only minus it. I would have been able to do maximum 3 points of damage. I can't kill a Teraton with Blaze Away because you can only do maximum 3 points of damage, right? You can move his, if you triple him, you move his thing down three. And if he's at suppressed, you move it down three, he's still got two armor, so that takes away two damage, plus tough takes another. So you can't kill him by suppressing him. I realize it now, so it was a mistake. I guess I could have shot him then, but. I probably should have shot him right off the bat if I was trying to kill him. Instead of trying to suppress him, it helped. It made him useless for two rounds.
Yeah, because he survived your original volley.
But to try to kill him, which I was trying to do, I shouldn't have tried to suppress him. Because he has too much armor and that tough. So you can't kill certain people with suppressing, and that's one of them. I think Plague Ones, the Enforcer Captain, the Teratons, you can't kill with suppressing. Now that blaze away.
So mathematically, the Mendoza line is three.
Yep, it's three. Yeah.
Three armor of any type, any resistance.
If he has two defense, you can at least damage him with Blaze Away. Like my guys, you can damage him. You can't kill him right out with Blaze Away, but you can damage him. And then no armor, you can obviously kill him. It's funny, there's a lot of two armors and no armor, but is there any one armors? You don't really see one armor much. Any of your guys had one armor? I think they all had two or none, right?
The guys that I had under in the line of fire, they one armor wouldn't have done anything.
Your sniper, I don't know.
I didn't.
You don't see one armor. It's always two or none.
This is my first time using the rebels, and I got out the plague, and Rob was like, you know, you should. I want to play the rebels.
Because I played rebs last time once.
Yeah, he goes, I want to play against the rebels, and I said, okay, well, we've got these sheets here. I'll just.
And Jack's never used a guy who shoots really effectively.
Yeah.
And even this time, it wasn't. No. It should have been effective. It just wasn't. You sucked at the rolls.
Well, no, they're all right. Shooting not great. You capped. You red misted the guy I thought was a good shooter.
Yeah, right off the bat, the Grogan with Desolator would have been. He's the best guy in your group.
For sure. I imagine he sounds like this, and I imagine he sounded like this.
Yeah,
that was it.
He was like, I'm coming down this planet. I'm gonna cause a.
No, he didn't even get that out. No. It was.
It was a good shot.
Headless body just slumps to the ground.
So I was like, I'm going to try to move my sniper into that tower. Wait a second, I got a shot at a Grogan. I'm not moving anywhere.
Yeah. And had you moved into the tower, his sniper is a priority because it kills something every round. And
unarmored once again, unarmored targets, it's a good chance it's going to kill you.
So, yeah.
But like against a Teraton, it would have been a close fight. Face to face, but like me sniping you, you probably would have survived, but a bit close. But anything else, yeah, it's pretty much if I could see them and I get enough dice. Plus, I was using cards.
Yeah, but as I was saying before, I'm not familiar enough to answer your question. Is there any in that I know of that have a one armor? Yeah. I didn't get the.
Flip I bet maybe cards. Some of the Marauders probably do.
Well, I hope they have no armor.
Well, we don't know. We'll never play them, so it doesn't matter.
No, we're not.
Maybe we'll get Refik to play Marauders.
He's our friend. Why would we do that to our friend?
He probably likes them. He said when you played Warhammer Fantasy, you played ogres. It's close.
Huh.
Ogres are like pink-skinned orcs, aren't they, pretty much?
Yeah, they're all...
They're all the sub-races to you.
They're all unacceptable.
If they're not plagued, they're nothing.
Well, the trolls that we've learned are now not...
Yeah, that's right. Well, let's have a moment of silence for who we thought was the coolest Marauder out there. He's still a Marauder, but he's not an orc.
Yeah,
it's the Hulk. I guess it's a space troll, not an orc.
From what we've gathered, what's
James? That's what James said. So we believe James X of Mantic Hewitt. May he rest in peace. He's gone to a worse place.
Hell would have been a more fitting place.
Well, I think same thing, really.
Really, I think it's worse.
Yeah, maybe. I'm sure it's great being there. It's just on the outside. It's terrible.
Yeah. But enough of that. This is a battle report, not a...
not a lament of James's
leaving. Yeah, next time we do some news, when it becomes official that James isn't with Mantic anymore, we'll discuss that. We'll, you know...
We'll drop some scotch on the ground for him.
He was our inside man. Hopefully the next... his replacement.
He was our inside man we never used.
Well, we're going to do an interview. We're going to do an interview. Oh, we can't because you're... Okay, well...
Hey, like, maybe we drove him out of Mantic.
Cut the microphone. Stop. Stop recording. Yes, that might be our fault.
So anyways, that's the game.
Yeah, that was the game. And it was interesting. And looking back, some things that affected it that I didn't see at the time really did have a huge effect.
That's always, hindsight's always 20/20, right?
Yeah. And now you're right. The Mendoza line of 3 points means there's some
things. That's the kind of things you learn as you go. It's like, okay, don't bother trying to kill a... Teraton suppressing him.
Yeah. And blast with the Sorak and stuff. We'll learn.
The Sorak is, yeah. I guess it's that's one of those things where you take the chance. Like, it's an amazing weapon, but you have to take the chance that it's actually going to be effective. Because if it's him versus somebody to try to kill him, it's done. You can't kill anyone.
No. If my mission card was to exterminate...
Yeah, well, he's useless. Unless you're like, hey, why don't you go up that top of that tower?
Hey, everybody. Stay on the edge of the map.
Yeah.
Why, what? Garth?
Hey, man.
I suppose you could literally, like, shoot them and just keep knocking them one square. Like, you're sweeping them across off the board.
Probably, that's where the Sorax were originally, were maintenance personnel. They were, what are they called, custodians or janitorial services?
We're from the Fighting 2000s, the Custodians of Death. What do you mean? Well, we sweep the competition off the map. Oh, that sounds.
They don't
dangerous.
Tell you that they're actually they're actually leaf blowers. They're not. They're blasters, or actually just giant leaf blowers.
That sounds deadly. Oh, don't get me wrong. It's not deadly. It has no ability to kill.
You might get a few bruises when you get knocked over. Yeah. But...
unless we get you pinned up against a wall and we just keep knocking you and knocking you and knocking you.
Or you climb up to an unsecured tower.
Yeah. Shh. Hey, shut up. That's our only. That's the only way to kill someone.
That's a secret weapon. Anyways, that's been a Dead Zone the podcast this week, this month.
Yeah, no, I think it was a good one.
We had fun. And until next time, I'm Rob.
And I'm Jack.
We'll see you on the other side.
Here is your host, Rob, to tell you how to contact us here at the Dead Zone Podcast.
Thank you, Winter Rain. You can listen to us on our website, deadzonegame.podbean.com. You can email us at deadzonepodcast@gmail.com. And you can follow us on Twitter at deadzonepodcast. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Join us next time for some more of the Dead Zone Podcast.
You think this is funny? Oh, you don't?
Oh.
Then maybe you'll find Vinland Old Time Radio more of your liking.
More of your liking indeed, Rob.
VinlandOldTimeRadio.podbean.com. It's where the funny lives.